We are in a final part of a preaching series called Fighting for Your Destiny. Final part today, looking at the book of Joshua, as we have been over the last 8 weeks. Just to give you a very, very brief summary of some of the things we've been looking at over the last few weeks. You know, God spoke to Abraham 650 years before Joshua entered the promised land. 40 years after the Israelites were set free from Egypt. Finally, we've been reading in Joshua, finally they enter the promised land. The years of promise, the years of pregnant promise, finally are fulfilled in the book of Joshua. And that's what we've been looking at over the first 10 chapters of Joshua. The people entering the promised land, miraculously crossing the river Jordan, taking the land that God had given them, defeating Jericho, seeing battles won, seeing the sun stand still, seeing the land being taken, the promises fulfilled. Now there were setbacks. A few weeks ago, Sam looked at the sin of Achan, that there were setbacks, there were defeats, there were things that didn't go according to plan. But throughout Joshua, we see that even in the setbacks, the people of God kept moving forward. Even in the setbacks, they kept taking land. Even in the setbacks, they kept walking out and seeing God's promises fulfilled. They dwelled in the land that God had given to them. Now, 2018, we've been saying it a number of times in the last 2 months. 2018, we believe as a church, is a real year of action. Already in 2 months, we've seen the launch of the Football Academy. We've seen two people baptized wonderfully, one in January, one in February. We're seeing the beginning of the business branding course and all that's going to flow from that in terms of small businesses and encouragement. It's great. It's great. 2 months. Wonderful. Praise God. But let me just say this. Let me say the battle is to keep moving forward. The battle is to keep going and believing God for the more promises that He has spoken, the more promises that God has called individuals to and to us as a church. Now, there'll be times when we trip up. There'll be times when we don't quite get it right. There'll be times when it jars a bit. But, you know, sometimes we want to say, yep, I've dealt with that. I've forgiven that. I've sorted that out. I've repented from that. And now I'm going again. You know, if you remember nothing else from this series, Fighting for Your Destiny, please remember that the call of believers, please remember that the call of Christians is to keep moving forward. Is to keep moving into the promises and the destiny that God has called us to. Yes, there'll be setbacks. Yes, there'll be times when we get it wrong. Yes, there'll be sin that comes and brings a mess. But as we saw last week, God can turn our mistakes into miracles. And we're to keep moving forward. We're to keep moving forward. Now today we're going to finish this series by looking right at the end of the book of Joshua. We're going to look at Joshua 24. We're going to read verses 1 to 15 and we're going to look at one verse and one phrase. It's a very famous verse. Often many people have it on plaques in their home. And we're going to look at this particular verse as we close out this series. Let me just give you the context. So Joshua is 110 years old. It's the end of his life. He's a frail old man. He's been leading God's people for many years. He's seen them take the promised land. He's seen them work out the promises of God. And he calls the people together one final time. And he brings one final challenge before he dies and is laid to rest. So let's read Joshua 24. We'll read from verse 1 and we'll finish on verse 15, which is a famous verse that we're going to look at today. So Joshua 24 and verse 1. Then Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. He summoned the elders, the leaders, the judges, the officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your forefathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham, and Nahor, lived beyond the river and worshipped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land, beyond the river, and led him throughout Canaan, and gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac. And to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I assigned the hill country to Seir to Esau. But Jacob and his sons went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I afflicted the Egyptians by what I did there. I brought you out. When I brought your fathers out of Egypt, you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued them with chariots and horsemen as far as the Red Sea. But they cried to the Lord for help, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians. He brought the sea over them and covered them. You saw with your own eyes what I did to the Egyptians. Then you lived in the desert for a long time. I brought you to the land of the Amorites who live east of the Jordan. They fought against you, but I gave them into your hands. I destroyed them from before you, and you took possession of their land. When Balak, the son of Zippor, the king of Moab, prepared to fight against Israel, he sent for Balaam, son of Beor, to put a curse on you. But I would not listen to Balaam, so he blessed you again and again, and I delivered you out of his hand. Then you crossed the Jordan. You came to Jericho. The citizens of Jericho fought against you, as did also the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Gergesites, the Hittites, and Jebusites. But I gave them into your hands. I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you. Also the two Amorite kings. You did not do it with your own sword and bow. So I gave you a land on which you did not toil, and cities you did not build, and you live in them and eat from vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Now, fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. I want to finish on this series, Fighting for Your Destiny, by looking at that one verse. Second half of verse 15. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Two things today, two things. Number one, when it comes to our destiny, when it comes for fighting for our destiny, destiny is a choice. Joshua stands up in front of the people right at the end of his life, and he says to the Israelites gathered before him, "As for me, I will serve the Lord." He gives a public and a personal choice. He tells the people that he, as for him, for his choice, for his life, he serves the Lord. Now that word serve, where it says, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. That word serve in the Hebrew is a word called avad, A-V-A-D. And if you look, the word avad is looked and is used in lots of different contexts in the Bible. It's a word that is rich with meaning. Sometimes in English we have a word which has, you know, a very simplistic meaning. But in Hebrew, in Greek, we find the words have many more different meanings. And that word avad is used in different contexts in Scripture to mean work, to mean serve, and to mean worship. Let me give you a couple of examples. So Exodus 34 and verse 21. 6 days, God says, you shall work, you shall avad. And on the seventh day, you shall rest. So it says here, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Abad, serve the Lord. It also talks about working for the Lord. Abad's working in what we do when we work the land, in what we do when we go to the office, in what we do when we do our lives and we do our work. It's as we Abad the Lord. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. This word Abad comes up again and again and again. It's the worship. It's the service. It's the work. Look in the New Testament, Colossians 3, verse 23 to 24. This kind of sums it up, Colossians 3. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ that you are serving. You see, Joshua is making a choice here to serve God in every area of his life. He's saying, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord in our worship. We will serve the Lord in working the land. We will serve the Lord by serving one another. I hear you saying there's no sacred and secular divide. He's saying everything I do in my life, my service, my worship, my work, everything is for the Lord. It's like us saying, you know, your worship, your serving the Lord is not what you do on a Sunday alone. It's not coming and raising your arms and serving in the kids club team or serving in pack down or helping with refreshments. Yes, that's serving the Lord. But your work on a Monday when you go to the office, that is also serving the Lord. It's how you use your money. That's how you serve the Lord. It's how you behave towards other people. That's how you serve the Lord. So Joshua is saying when he makes this public declaration to the Israelites, he's saying, look, get hold of this truth, everyone. Get hold of this truth. I am making a choice that everything that I do, everything that I am is for the Lord. Everything. 24/7. There's no holes and compartments of my life that are not for the Lord. Everything that I do, everything that I abad, that I serve is for the Lord. My worship, my work, my behavior towards others. Everything, everything, everything is my worship, my serving to the Lord. He says that. And under that, under this title, underneath this truth, that destiny is a choice. There's three things I want to look at. The first thing that is that it's the ultimate choice. You see, Joshua is in the context of verse 14 and 15 talking about other gods and who you worship. He's talking to the Israelites about not worshiping the God of the Amorites, not worshiping the gods from those of other nations, but worshiping Jehovah the Lord. He's talking about the ultimate choice that we make, the ultimate choice to worship Jesus Christ. You know, everybody in this earth is a worshiper. The question is who we worship or what we worship. And so when it comes to our destiny and it comes to destiny as a choice, we need to remember that that starts with the ultimate choice. Do you choose Jesus? Do you choose Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Or do you choose mammon, money, to be who you worship? Do you choose another human being to be who you worship? Do you choose your career to be who you worship? Do you choose a boyfriend, a girlfriend, your husband, a child? Do you choose another human being to be the person that you worship? Or do you choose Jesus to be the one you worship? When it comes to destiny being a choice, the ultimate choice is the one on which all of us will be judged. Will we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior? It's not about my good works. It's not about how I do this or do that. It's about, do I bow the knee? Do I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior? Do I acknowledge that Jesus died for me on that cross, taking my sin upon himself so that I go free? Do I commit for the rest of my life to follow him as best I can? You know, eternity rests on that decision. When it comes to destiny as a choice, it starts with the ultimate choice. Do we choose Jesus? Joshua was saying to the Israelites, look, choose the Lord. Do not choose these other gods. Choose the Lord. So when it comes to destiny being a choice, it starts with that ultimate choice. Do we choose Jesus? Do we choose Jesus as our Lord and Savior? Now, many of us will be sitting here saying, well, yeah, I've made that choice. I've made that ultimate choice that Jesus is who I worship and Jesus is my Lord. Then it comes on to two other things. It comes on to destiny being a choice in the consistent choices that we make every day. You know, many of you, you're a Christian, you love the Lord, you made that ultimate choice. The battle for your destiny is over the daily choices that you make. That's the battle. It's not about the ultimate question that you have answered. It's about the daily choices that you have to answer day in and day out. And you see, Joshua was a wonderful man of God. He was a wonderful example to us because although he was not perfect, he lived out a life of regularly, consistently choosing the Lord. If you look back into the time when he was Moses' assistant, he chose to spend time in the tent of meeting. He chose to spend time worshiping the Lord. When he was a spy and he went with Caleb and the other 10 spies into the land of Canaan when Moses sent them, he chose to see through eyes of faith and not fear. When he was the leader of Israel, he chose to be obedient to the Lord. When he was the leader of Israel, he chose to follow the footsteps and the plans that God had ordained for him. He chose courage. He chose to cross the Jordan. He chose to march round Jericho. He made these decisions day in and day out. As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. Consistently, every day, Joshua made these decisions. When he saw results, he made those decisions. When he didn't see results, he made those decisions. Now you see, Christians, we've got to get this into our hearts and into our minds. That when we go into work, when we go into challenging environments in the office, in the building site, in the shop we work at, wherever we work, wherever we interact with others, we've got to see that it's the consistent, it's the everyday choices that we make when we say, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. As for me, you know, I will serve God, whatever goes on in this place. Things go according to plan, still I will serve the Lord. I don't get the recognition I deserve, still I will serve the Lord. As for me, I will serve the Lord. It's easy to do it on one day. You hear this message? It's easy to go in tomorrow morning to work and do it. Yeah, as for me and my house, yep, I'm going to serve the Lord today. Yep, I'm going to serve the Lord today. But we do it consistently. We do it Tuesday through Friday, through Wednesday, through Saturday. We do it in a monotony of everyday life. We do it when we're up. We do it when we're down. We consistently say, Lord, I choose you. Lord, I choose you. I make that choice for you. I make that choice every day. I remember years ago, 20 years ago, maybe a little bit less than that. I remember being told by someone who I really respected. I'm being told, you know, Mark, you know, I'd love you. I was a single guy. I was, you know, really wanted to lead a church one day. And, you know, I was told, you know, Mark, in a few months time, we'd love to get you as an elder. We'd love to just pray for you and give you real positions of leadership in the church. And I was like, wow, fantastic. And then nothing happened and it was ignored and it was forgotten. And I felt really hurt. I felt like I'd been badly treated. And I went through a battle. I went through a battle in my innermost being where this was relevant. What we're talking about today was incredibly relevant. Was I able to say, as for me, I will serve the Lord. Recognition or no recognition, I will serve the Lord. Was I able to say, I'll do this for God, whether I'm forgotten or remembered. I'll do this for God and not be bitter and not be resentful. I'll do this for God because that's who I'm doing it for, not the person who spoke to me or not anybody else out there. You know, it was a battle over a number of months, and this scripture, this verse kept coming back to me. As for me, I will serve the Lord. As for me, I will serve the Lord. I want you to get into your minds, into your hearts, that this is a difficult thing to do, but a challenging thing to do. Every day to wake up and say, today, Lord, as for me, I will serve the Lord. As you walk into work, you say, Lord, as for me, I will serve the Lord. In your home, with challenges going on, you say, as for me, I will serve the Lord. You go out with your friends to the pub, you say, as for me, I will serve the Lord. You start a business, you start a dream, you say, as for me, I will serve the Lord. I'm doing it for you, Lord. I'm doing it for you. And that's got to be a consistent, every day, day in, day out, almost kind of regular, consistent choice that we make in season, out of season, again and again and again and again. Remember at the beginning of the year, we had a 21 days of prayer. And just the psychologists say 21 days is often how long it takes to set a habit. It's how long it takes to set something in place in our life. You know, if we want to achieve things that God has called us to, it's going to mean making decisions for God day in and day out. It's not just a hand up for something and day one I'm there and then, oh, I can't be bothered anymore. It's a day in, it's a day out. It's consistent with our choices. It's saying, Lord, I will plod. I will keep going. I will get out of bed. I will do my part. I will do what you've called me to do. And as we do that, we will see our destiny fulfilled. As we do that over time, we will see our destiny fulfilled. You see, destiny, achieving dreams, seeing things happen. We often hear the story of, they had that prophecy or they had an idea or God spoke to them. And then we see over here the reality. Wow, there it is, the business, the church, the ministry, whatever it is. But we forget that there's so much that goes unnoticed. There's hours, there's days, there's months, there's years. That the only way that connects the prophecy, that connects the idea, that connects the dream to the reality is the consistent choices. Is the consistent choices over time, day in and day out, in season and out of season, making that choice, making that choice. As for me, I'll serve God. As for me, I'll serve God. I've been hurt. I've been treated badly. But as for me, I'll serve God. I've had a setback. But as for me, I'll serve God. I've messed up. I've fallen short. But as for me, I'll keep serving God. As for me, I'll keep serving God. And then we see that destiny fulfilled. It's about consistent choices. It's about every day in season and out of season to see that promise fulfilled. And then one final thing on destiny as a choice. It's about the small choices and it's about the big choices. You know, there's a tendency to think when it comes to seeing our destiny fulfilled, there's a tendency to think, I make one big choice. I make one super big choice and everything's going to be okay. Or we equally think sometimes, I mess up in one big, big way and the whole thing's a train wreck. The whole thing is messed up. You know, there is a certain amount of truth in both of those things, but we need to understand that seeing our destiny fulfilled is so often about the little choices. It's about the little choices that we make. Song of Songs 2 and verse 15 says, catch the little foxes. Kill the little foxes because they ruin the vineyard. They ruin the crop. They ruin the wine. They ruin what God has intended. You look at David and his mess with Bathsheba, which ends in adultery and murder. How does it begin? It begins with a little fox. It begins with not going out to war. It begins with laziness. It begins with not being where he should be. And then everything flows from that. Now, here's what I want to mention. We so often flip to the negative. We so often flip to the, oh, little choices. Step, leads to big sin, to mess with your destiny. We kind of know that. I want to flip it and say, listen. For your destiny to be fulfilled, it's about the ultimate decision of following Christ. It's about consistency over time. And it's about the little choices. Most of all, that people do not see. But the little choices that add up. The little choices that become the foundation on which you build. It's the little choices that nobody else sees. It's the iceberg that is there below the surface. People see the top, but they don't see all the choices, all the sacrifices, all the decisions that you have made to see your destiny become a reality. Listen, I can only share from my experience, from me. You know, and I'm not perfect by any means, but at a young age, God called me and said that one day I'd lead a church, and one day that God would use me in that ministry. Let me just say, I went to university, I taught for 9 years before working for a church, and then eventually 8 years ago planting Hope Church. In that time, from the age of 16, before any paid ministry, before any leading a church, I'm just telling you, this is my experience, this is me. You know, what did I do with a lot of my time? I made decisions to make choices that would be building the destiny that I believe God had called me to. So in those years as a student, in those years when I was teaching, I took every opportunity to go and preach. I preached in a CU of 2 people. I preached in an old people's home. I preached in the church of 20 people, a church of 5 people, a church that was really full of old people and the music was just dreadful. But why did I go? Because I was like, God, I want to make choices. I want to make choices to build in me and building me the calling that God had spoken to me about. What am I going to do with my time? What am I going to read when everyone else is watching box sets or doing this, that, and the other? I'm going to take time to read Christian books. I'm going to take time to go through books. Everyone used to laugh at me if you had a book that I'd use, it would be underlined, highlighted and underlined, because that's what I used to do. Highlight, underline, jot things down. Because I wanted to learn, I wanted to grow, I wanted to make those little decisions, little choices that would build the destiny that I believed that God had called me to. Now, before the internet was kind of crazy, I used to get in my little Peugeot 306 as a 20-something-year-old and just find out where different preachers were preaching and drive to see them. Go out into the middle of Kent, go out up to Birmingham, go to different places in London and listen to Reinhard Bonnke and all these people that were preaching and in the country and go and listen to them. You know, this is before podcasts, guys. This is before the internet was kind of crazy. So you had to go and listen to people. So what was I doing? I was making choices all the time to grow what I believe that God had called me to. That meant at times being set apart from my friends. That meant at times, you know, not doing some of the things that they were doing. It meant being holy, being set apart. I'm trying to give you an example. Your example is different, you know. Many of you, you know, you're not called to lead a church. You're not called to preach. But for me, that is what I felt God had called me to. So it was lots of little choices, building, growing, until God says, right now, you're weak still. You're going to fail and mess things up still. But go for it. And so you need to hear, guys. I want you to hear. We often hear that, you know, in terms of your destiny, the little choices matter, the big choices matter, because if you get them wrong, you're messed, you're sin. I want to be really positive for you. I want to be really positive and say, look, if you want to achieve what God's called you to, it means consistent everyday choices, and it means being full of consistency in the small decisions and the big decisions. Build on the destiny and the calling that God has spoken to you about. There's only 2 points today, and they're incredibly simple. But you need to understand that firstly, your destiny is a choice. It's a choice. As for me and my house, Joshua says, we will serve the Lord. the ultimate choice, the consistent everyday choice, and the choice in the little as well as in the big. And then secondly, choices are destiny, and secondly, choices impact others. Joshua says this, "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." He doesn't say, "As for me, I will serve the Lord." He doesn't just say that. It's important. He says, "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Now, Sam looked a few weeks ago at how the sin of Achan in Joshua 6 impacted the whole nation. The choices that we make impact others. And I want to talk just for a couple of minutes about how the choices that we make as a family have a big impact. You know, the choices as parents that we make shape our children. The choices as parents that we make set a culture for our home. They set an example for our children to follow. Now let me say, this is relevant to all of us. If you've got children, this is incredibly relevant. But most of you will statistically marry and have children. Not all of you by any means, but most of you. So this is relevant. And even if not that you have children, even if not that you get married, to just realize that the choices that you make and the culture that you set and the example that you live impacts those around you. Now you'll say, "Mark, yeah, I know that. I know my example impacts my kids. I know that the culture we set in my home has an effect. I know that. I get that. I hear that all the time. You know, the parenting manuals tell me that. I know that. The Bible tells me that. I know that. But what am I to do? How can I do that?" So I just want to give you some practical things. It's a couple of practical points. How can you make it so that your choices impact positively on your family? How can it be that you set a positive culture for your children and the rest of your family? Three very practical things. Firstly, remember God's grace. If you noticed in the recounting from Joshua 24, 1 to 13, if you notice, Joshua recounts the story of God's people. And what he says a number of times, it comes twice in verse 11 and 12. He says a number of times to the God's people, "I gave you the battle. I gave you the promised land." He reminds the Israelites that God was the one who gave them the land. Not their army, not their kind of courage, but it was God who did that. God's people needed reminding of that. And as a family, as parents with children, we want to make it, we remind our family all the time of the blessings and the goodness that God has given to us. We want to make a choice to review every day our lives and say every good and perfect gift comes from our Father in heaven. We had this thing that Jen instigated at home. We don't do it every day by any means, but it's on the side and it's a little jar and it says the thankful jar. Now, we've got a 7, a 5 and a 4-year-old. So sometimes there's silly little words in there. There's kiddie words in there like thank you God for the toilet, you know, that kind of thing. There's those silly little words in there. But also there's some really profound stuff that the kids come out with. Some profound thing. Thank you, God, for my friend who was sick, but now is better. Thank you, God, for, you know, my room and my toys. Or thank you, God, for food on our table. There's some profound things that are there. What's that doing? What are you doing there? What you're doing is setting a culture of saying, we're going to be grateful. We're going to be thankful because every good and perfect gift comes from our Father in heaven. Now, we're going to remember that when Grace, my oldest daughter, had a horrific accident last year, that it was the Lord who protected her. It was the Lord who miraculously healed her. You know, as a family, and if you share a house, you can do this together. If you're just married, you do this together. Or if you've got kids, you do this with your kids. You just say, let's remember what the Lord has done. Let's remember how we are blessed. You're setting a culture. You're impacting others. You're impacting your children. Another way you can do that is by being generous. Be generous as a family. Be generous as individuals. Because if you're generous, then your children will follow suit. I believe, you know, we're generous as a family. In particular, Jen is very generous and she's very creative and she'll think of ideas and gifts to give people and cards and special gifts to give to people. And that flows onto our children. So Amelia is in year one at school and she's got into this little habit over the last couple of weeks of gathering all the, what I think is tat in the home, but all the general bits and pieces in her room and appearing at the door for school with like a carrier bag full of all kinds of random things that she's going to go and give to everyone in her class. You know, so she goes and appears in the morning, she goes, right, this one's for you, this one's for you, this one's for you, this one's for you. That random tat. Like little bits of paper with scribbles on, little bits of toys that I thought was broken, but no, it's not broken, this is for my best friend, you know. And she just gives it away, liberally giving it away, generously giving it away. You know, I want to put some really rubbish things in there so they get rid of them, so they go. But you know, so she's just amazing. But what's happening is a generous spirit is rubbing off on your children. A generous spirit that you are modeling is rubbing off on your children. And you know, so that is just so wonderful when you see it. So you say, Mark, you know, my choices impact others. How do I set, you know, a positive culture in the family? How do we do that? What does that look like when we say, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord? Well, one way I think practically is just remembering God's grace. Remembering what God has done. Remembering his goodness to you. Remembering prayers answered. Remembering the blessings that we have. Being generous with what we have. And seeing it trickle down. And seeing it become the culture and the behavior that our children will model. That's one practical example. Another practical example is to live as parents, to live worshiping the Lord. To live your life worshiping the Lord. Verse 14, first part, it says, Joshua says, now fear the Lord. Now, when it comes to teaching children in particular about worship and how we worship, it is nearly always better caught rather than taught. What by that I mean is how you conduct yourself, how you worship the Lord, your children will follow. If you're praising God, if you're singing the songs, if you're giving glory to God, your children will follow. If you're praying big prayers, if you're praying the little prayers, then your children will pray. Then your children will pray big prayers and pray little prayers. If you're loving people around you, if you're loving God, then the children will follow. It's an intentionality of taking responsibility for the spiritual leadership of your home. It's a choice. It's a battle. It's a consistent choice that we're to make. You know, we pray for our children every night before bed. You know, that's a battle to do that. It's something intentional that we do. We not every day and not by any means all the time, but we'll often read the Bible around the dinner table. Why? Because we want to put these in place. This is worship. This is what it looks like to worship the Lord. This is what it looks like to pray in every occasion about all things, about the little, the mundane and the big. What we're doing is setting an example. What we're doing is setting a temperature. What we're doing is setting an example of how to live a worshipful life. Now let me say something really important here. You can do all these things. You can be the best parents ever. But there's no guarantee that your children will then become Christians. There's no guarantee. We all know wonderful Christian parents who've loved their children, who've shown great examples of worship, who've shown great examples of prayer, who've discussed the Bible around the dinner table, who've been really generous, and their children at this moment in time are maybe not following the Lord, or they're backslidden, or they're not in a good place with the Lord. Each person has that choice when they grow up. Am I gonna believe in Jesus as my Lord and Savior, or am I gonna reject Jesus as my Lord and Savior? But what you're doing by putting these things in place is you are tipping the scales in the right direction. What you're doing is you're making it easier for your children to come to know Jesus as the Lord and Savior. What you're doing is showing an integral example of a man, of a woman who loves Jesus. That's what you're doing. You're setting a culture. We all know that our choices impact others. So we want the choices that we make to impact our children positively. So we remember grace. So we live an example of worship and we serve God daily. Six times in verse 14 and 15, it talks about serving the Lord. You know that word again, avad, serving the Lord at work, at home, with our friends, in the leisure area. We serve the Lord. Our children see us up close and personal. They see us on our good days. They see us on our bad days. What they want to see is the real deal. What they want to see is someone who says, well, I got it wrong yesterday. I shouldn't have shouted. I got it messed up, you know, but I asked for forgiveness and Jesus forgives and I love you. And, you know, I'm going to go again and be the best dad that I can. And we're going to pray tonight. And, you know, I'm sorry. And, you know, it's being full of integrity. Saying, here I am to serve the Lord. Here I am to serve you. Here am I am to be the best that I can. You see, Joshua understood. He understood that choices impact others. That's why he said, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. As a nation, he stood up in front of the nation, as the leader of the nation, one final time before he died. He wanted to inspire the nation. And he says, as for me and my life, we will serve the Lord. No one here lives in isolation. No one. No one here lives in isolation. Whether you're married, whether you have children or not, you don't live in isolation. At work, you can set a culture. You can set a culture. By how you behave, by how you live, you will impact others. You say, I'm not going to swear at work. Everyone swears, everyone F's and blinds, but I'm not going to swear. You know, I'm going to set a culture. When someone asks me why, I'm going to say it's because I'm a Christian. It's because I love Jesus. My choice isn't going to impact others. You say, I'm not going to gossip with my friends. I'm not going to speak badly of others. Why? Because that's not what God does. That's not how God views other people. So you're going to link it to the Lord and you're going to set a culture. You're going to set an environment. You're going to set an example because you know that your choices impact others. It's a challenge. You know, sometimes we shirk away from that responsibility. Sometimes we get lazy. You say, oh, it's difficult taking on the responsibility for the spiritual direction of the household, for my children. It's difficult. It's challenging. It's a pain. It's hard. And sometimes the kids don't want to. And it's a challenge. And sometimes I'm tired. But it's saying, I know that my choices matter. So I'm going to take this seriously. And I'm going to say, as for me and my household, our household, we serve the Lord. We serve the Lord. I want to kind of wrap everything up in this last bit. So we've looked at fighting for your destiny. Fighting for your destiny. Destiny is choices. And choices impact and influence others. Let me finish and wrap up with this. I wonder how would you remember Joshua? We've looked for 9 weeks at Joshua. Many of you will know his story. How do you remember Joshua? For me, I'll tell you. Joshua, for me, brings 3 things to mind. Firstly, the Battle of Jericho and the walls came tumbling down. Secondly, this phrase, this verse, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And thirdly, courage. I always think of Joshua, I think of courage. I think of courage to act. I think of courage to press through. I think of courage to take the land. I want to go right back to the beginning, the first week of January. We read Joshua chapter 1. We're not going to read the whole chapter, but I just want to read verses 6 to 9. I want to finish by making a link. I want to finish by giving you a challenge. Joshua 1, verse 6 to 9 says this, at the beginning of the book of Joshua, "Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." The beginning, Joshua 1. The focus of those verses, without preaching them again, the focus of those verses is courage and not fear, and a godly character that meditates on the word of God. You say, what do I remember of Joshua? Well, for me, what do I remember of Joshua? I remember courageous acts. I remember taking Jericho. I remember crossing the river Jordan. And I remember godly decisions, godly, consistent decisions as Moses' right-hand man, as a spy into the promised land, as a leader of the nation. Godly choices. Here's the link I want to kind of close with. What we focus on, what we cultivate in our minds, what we give ourselves to is where we will end up. I don't think it's any accident that you see at the beginning of Joshua this call to courage and this call to godly living. And what you see in the book, yes, there's the odd blip. Yes, there's the odd sin, the odd mistake. But what you see in the book is godly character and courage. Godly character and courage. Godly character and courage. The focus, courage, godly character. The outworking, courage, godly character. Courage, godly character. So let me challenge you and finish with this. What is your focus? What are you cultivating right now? What are you thinking on? What are you making decisions based on? And listen, I don't want to focus on your shortfallings. I don't want to focus on your sin. I don't want to focus on your weaknesses. I don't want to focus on what you are not likely to do because you find it very hard. I want to focus on what is your destiny? What are you called to? And what are you going to focus on to make that become a reality? What are you going to focus on to make that calling become real? Because it's the consistent every day. It's the little choices and the big choices. It's the plodding day in and day out. Day in when no one sees. Day in and day out when no one sees. I will plod. I will make that choice. I will focus on the Lord. I will focus on godliness. I will focus on courage. I will focus on what God has called me to. That then one day we find ourselves living the destiny, living the calling that God has spoken to us about. What's your focus? What are you looking at? What are you at the moment focused on to see your destiny played out? As for me and my household, I will serve the Lord. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord.